T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Elliot Friedman joins the Instigators here right now, as he always does on Thursdays at 11 o'clock on WGR 550. Good morning, Elliot. And Craig and I were just talking about the brand of hockey last night, and I was blown away at how good the hockey was, with the exception of Tampa-Chicago game. I was very impressed with the players last night.
It was entertaining. I was listening to you guys talking, and the Toronto. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of Pittsburgh Philly because we were on air at the same time, but Toronto Montreal was really good. I agree with you. I thought St. Louis was a pretty good game. And the Vancouver Edmonton game, it started a bit slow, but it really got going as the game went on. I mean, the only thing I didn't like about Toronto Montreal last night was I figured if there was a crowd in that game, it would have been bonkers in that building. That's the only negative. But what are you going to do?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and that's kind of the thing that I keep thinking and looking back at, even just with the Sabres. I know we already had the return to play. I know we've already seen hockey without fans, but now we're seeing teams play in their own buildings without fans. So last time it was a bubble where you had two mixed teams playing in Toronto or Edmonton, where now you have these teams playing on home ice, and you can't help but wonder what rinks would sound like, if the fans were there. Elliot Friedman joining us here on the Instigators. Do you have the guts to say to us that you think the Sabres can make the playoffs, even though they're in the division they're in?
We taped our 31 Thoughts podcast the other day, and we did like a division preview. We talked about each team for a couple minutes. I actually said on the podcast, Andrew, that if I had any, like every year I try to pick a team where I say if I had any guts at all, I'd pick them to make the playoffs. And my actual quote was something along the lines of, in any other year, Buffalo might be that team. I just don't like the division. So I guess I have partial guts, but not enough. I think you guys are improved. I like the move you guys made. I think I have questions about the goaltending like a lot of people do, but I like the moves you guys made. I just look at that division. I think it's such a tall order. You guys are going to have to leapfrog six teams that were in the return to play last year. How reasonable do you think that is?
Listen, I think number one, let's just start with the Boston Bruins. Are the Boston Bruins going to be the same team that we've seen in years past? You have a Brad Marchand who's coming back from injury. You have a Pasternak, their number one point producer and goal scorer, is starting the season on the shelf for a month. They lose their longtime captain in Zdeno Chara. They lose their best puck-moving defenseman in Torrey Krug. I think there's kinks in the armor in Boston. I think that's just one team. I don't believe that the Pittsburgh Penguins are Pittsburgh Penguins of the old. I think they're starting to, I think you're honestly starting to see some kinks there too. And you know, I don't believe, and this is just my opinion, I don't believe that the division is as strong as what people think. I think if you were talking about this division 3 years ago, it would make your brain hurt thinking about the teams that you have to play. But I believe that some of these teams are not what they were 3 years ago.
I think that some of what you, I will agree with what some of what you say. I agree with you on Boston, Craig. I think we're all looking at them right now and saying, where is this team? They didn't spend a lot of money, and I think a lot of people are kind of looking at them like, are the Bruins at a crossroads, and the Chara thing is very big. That said, I also believe that a team with their attitude, the way they approach things, with Bergeron still there, Marchand still there, as you mentioned, Pasternak out a little bit, Tuukka Rask back in goal, and we're talking about a Tuukka Rask who's probably going to sign an extension with the Bruins, so if there's any question about his commitment, that seems to go away. And, you know, I'll tell you this, I think McAvoy does not get as much credit for how good he is, and I think quietly one of the best off-season signings in the NHL was Craig Smith for the value they got on that, $3.1 million. So I think it's weird, but I think they're going to be okay. I'm with you on Pittsburgh. Honestly, Craig, if I was to rank all the teams in the NHL from 1 to 31 on what I expect from them and how sure I am of they're going to be what I think they're going to be, Pittsburgh would be dead last. I had no read on the Penguins this year. I had no idea what to expect from them. They could be good. They could be not good. They flopped in the return to play. They made changes, and they didn't look good yesterday.
Jari let in some junky goals last night.
Yeah, like I agree with you. I think they're vulnerable. Okay, but let's just say Pittsburgh's vulnerable. You still got Philly. I still think Boston is good. You still got the Rangers. I think Washington is going to be really good. And I'll tell you something else. I think in a chaos season, the Islanders, their structure, I was not surprised that the Islanders got the Eastern Conference Final last year. You guys played. When you have, Andrew, you played for Lamoriello. When you have structure and you have order, and you have an understanding of what everybody's role is, you can do well in situations like this. So the Sabres could surprise. Like I said, if I had more guts, I would have picked them. But I don't believe in that the rest of that division is more vulnerable than it looks. I might be proven wrong. I think most of those teams, with the exception of Pittsburgh, are really good.
Well, here's how I think it goes. If they're going top four, have they confirmed they're going top four for the playoffs, Elliot?
Yes, top four.
Okay. So my opinion is that the division, as for me, the Sabres division, that is, it ranks for me like this. I think you have Philly number one, Islanders number two, and this is before we talk to you. Washington, I said I don't think they're the same team, but that doesn't mean they're not a good team. Washington number three. And I think it's going to be wide open for the number four.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, like, again, I understand everybody's concerns about Boston. I have the same concerns. I just think I'll believe they bottom out when I see it. I just believe in their culture and a lot of players there. But you know what? Hey, like, every year you know, there's one team that flops in each division, and there's one team that overachieves. You should go into the season believing it's your team.
Fair enough. Elliot Friedman joining us here on the Instigator Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada Insider. Some things I want to talk to you about from 31 Thoughts. If you don't know, Elliot writes 31 Thoughts, thought on every team. Next year it'll be 32. What's going on with Evander Kane? I think this is a very interesting scenario. A lot to read and a lot to take in. $28 million in debt, $40 million contract. might opt out of the season this year, which means he just won't be paid. How does this play out, in your opinion?
Well, so basically what happened, if people are not familiar with it, is that there was a report last week that Evander Kane is being sued by a bank for $8 million, that they gave him a loan and he has not paid it back. And so in response, Kane filed a document in court last weekend in California that he owes $27 million in liabilities, and he filed for bankruptcy. And in that claim, there was a comment that he might not receive a salary this year because he may opt out or may terminate his contract. And that obviously was an eyebrow raiser, as Andrew points out. So I looked into it. He filed the document in court on January 9th. The opt-out deadline for players in San Jose was December 24th. So I don't think that's happening. Bob Bugner, the coach of the Sharks, was on a Zoom call the day after this came out, and he was asked about it, and he said that they spoke to Kane, and Kane is all in. He's going to play. I asked the league if they knew of anything about this. They said that was the first they heard of it. I asked the Players Association if they heard about this. They said it was the first they heard of it. The other thing, too, is the Players Association would fight that. Kane has 5 years left and $29 million on his contract. They would not want that to be terminated. They would fight that, and they knew nothing about it. Like, one situation you guys are really familiar with is Patrick Berglund's. When Berglund's contract was terminated by the Sabres, the Players Association wanted to fight it. They wanted to grieve it. They had 60 days from the day that the Sabres terminated it to file a grievance, and they wanted to. But Berglund asked them not to, and he said, look, I don't want to fight it. And the PA didn't want to do that, but he can't do it if your client says no. So that was allowed to be terminated, but I don't think that's going to happen here. I think Kane's going to play. I don't know if it was a bluff or something you try in a legal move, but it doesn't sound like San Jose's worried, or the league or the Players Association are worried that Kane's not going to play.
Instigators, Elliot Friedman joining us here every Thursday at 11 o'clock. Season's back, started last night, lots of great action. Will we see Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus all year? You're number two on your 31 thoughts, and I'm not just reading these one and two. I think they're one and two on your list because they're probably the biggest stories in hockey when you write these. So you say that interested teams are not screwing around. Is there reason to believe he'll be moved, and can you confirm or deny that the Sabres have made calls?
How could you not? Like you're not doing your job if you're not making that call. I don't see how Kevin Adams wouldn't have called Columbus just to see what's up. I don't know if it works as much. Like, I mean, you obviously want Pierre-Luc Dubois in your lineup if you can do it. Ultimately, you worry about how much you've got to pay everybody later. But, why wouldn't Buffalo make a call on that and say, hey, like, what are you thinking here? What do you like about our roster? Now, I'm not convinced that Columbus would want to send him to Buffalo unless it's an absolutely monstrous return. If you can avoid it, you avoid sending him somewhere right near you or a rival or anything like that. But I find it hard to believe that there's a single NHL team that hasn't made the call to at least see what Columbus is thinking.
What would be the asking price for a player like him? I mean, he was drafted third overall. He's played exceptionally well in his first two seasons of the NHL. It's actually shocking to hear that this player is is looking to get out of Columbus because he wants a bigger stage is what I'm hearing.
And he also bought a house last year, so something seems fishy.
I think it's actually a condo, to be perfectly honest, but he did buy a place. So I'm one of the people that's mentioned the bigger stage. I John Tortorella did an interview. And did you guys hear this interview yesterday?
No, we didn't. To hear it, though.
I'll take that as a no. Ask your guys, your producers, to track it down. He did an interview on Columbus Radio yesterday. It was really interesting. And, you know, Tortorella talked about how Dubois told the team it was true. Dubois also hasn't given a specific answer on why he wants out. And Tortorella, and I would be very curious, Craig and Andrew, and to hear what you guys have to say as former players, because Tortorella, who doesn't lie, if you ask him a question, you better be prepared for the answer. He said he admitted it's going to be very difficult for him to coach Dubois this year because he's disappointed and he's put a lot of effort into it and the player wants out. And he said, yes, we've had a difficult relationship, but it's made him better and we've invested a lot. I would be really, you guys should track it down because I think your listeners, first of all, I think you two guys would be really fascinated by it. And I think your listeners would love to hear your guys' takes on it as, you know, former players. Anyway, so there's one of the things is that he wants a bigger stage or a different stage. Another, there's a big question about his relationship with Tortorella. They've definitely battled. I've been told that don't go crazy on the Tortorella angle. There are other people, and again this morning you've told me that they think the Tortorella thing is a big part of it, but it's being underplayed because they don't want Dubois to get the reputation of somebody who wants the coach out or anything like that. I don't know. We're almost at the point now where we have to wait for him to clear it up before we can really comment on it even further. But the bottom line is, yes, he bought a place in Columbus last year, and then before free agency began, everybody knew he wanted out. So something changed. And, until Dubois comes out and says it, we don't have the exact answer. As for asking price, I've heard two different versions, Craig. One version is it's like a Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones deal. It's one for one, but obviously if you're trading Dubois, I mean, what are you getting back? As you said, he's a good player and he's only getting better. Or number two, it's a package of guys who can play now and – you know, younger guys or developing guys or futures, but that's a big package. Now, the one thing I've heard, Craig, is that teams aren't fooling around with this. Like, you don't want to be – like, you guys were both in the league when Joe Thornton got traded. There were a lot of teams that were very upset that they didn't know Joe Thornton was available because they would have made their pitches for him. So teams are sitting here saying, this is a number one center. We can't fool around with this. We can't screw around with our offers. Let's be serious. And I think there were some teams last week that made Jarmo Kekalainen think. Obviously, he didn't pull the trigger, but I think he looked at the offers and said, there's some meat on the bone here.
That's
amazing.
What's
the reality? What's the percentage of Dubois being traded before the first five games of this season? Is he going to be gone? Like, how do you walk into a dressing
room
and deal with your head coach?
I don't know now that's going to happen. I mean, the other thing, too, that's a factor now, Andrew, is that, you know, there's quarantines from, you know, state to state, county to county, country to country. Like, for example, if it's a Canadian team, and I know both Winnipeg and Montreal were interested, he's got to sit out 14 days before he can even play for you.
Tort shouldn't worry about whether it's going to be hard to coach this player, because this player is going to show up and give everything he has.
Yeah, I think they expect that for him, Andrew. And you know what the other thing there, and again, this is something you guys can speak to. So let's just say Dubois is disgruntled with Tortorella to whatever degree. I think there's a lot of players on that team who really like him.
I wouldn't disagree like that. With that. I know guys that played for Torts and they loved them. They understood.
And I'm sure there's lots who hate them.
Yeah. I think that's probably, that goes for every coach.
Yeah.
What's that, Elliot?
Polarizing. He's polarizing. There's no gray. You either really love him or really hate him. And I think there's a lot of guys on that team, on Columbus, who think that he's made them better and he's made the team better. But, you know, to get there, it's going to be a tough road because he grinds you.
Wow. So when I look at this, you have an owner and a GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets that are ultimately right now, he's got to make a decision because we've seen this before in the past. Do you side on your star player and your future, or do you move the coach that has made that person disgruntled and upset?
I think it's interesting. Like, you know, the one situation that I think changed a lot of people's opinions was Vinny LeCavalier. You know, Jay Feaster, you know, Tortorella and LeCavalier, they didn't get along. And there was a time LeCavalier wanted to be traded out of there, and he was very close to being traded at one point. And, you know, Feaster said, no, like, we're going to make this work together. He goes, I think this is a franchise player, and I believe in the coach. And they won a Stanley Cup together. And I think what Columbus really wanted was that was going to happen there. You know, I think the other unique thing about this season, guys, is, like, normally, like, imagine this situation was playing out in Buffalo, okay? So you'd have your fans at the arena, and either they'd be booing the coach or they'd be booing the players. Because, you know, fans are passionate. They don't want to hear that someone doesn't want to play there. So they either boo the one guy or they boo the other guy. And this year you don't have to deal with that. You know, there's not going to be... If the fans are mad at Dubois, you know, there's not going to be 20,000 fans in the building booing them. So you can handle that a little bit more. I think what Kekalainen is going to do is he's going to wait till he gets the right deal that makes sense for his team. And if there's a bit of an auction now, as it sounds like there is, he'll play that auction till he gets the right deal. The other thing, too, is Columbus has to win. Like, they want to win this year. Are you helping yourself right now? Unless the deal is great, are you trading him right now knowing that you might not be able, you're going to have to play shorthanded for a few days? So I think all of that plays in, and I think he'll make the deal when he thinks it's right for their team.
My last question, how good is Columbus right now anyway, if without Dubois? Are they a good team?
Well, it depends on what you get back for them. Like I think Columbus is, I think they've got some real talent there, and they play hard. And, you know, I believe that they're a bit like the Islanders to me. They've got good players, but the team is their strength, and their identity is their strength. You know, they haven't really climbed the mountain yet. They've only won one playoff round, but boy, was that a playoff round victory. But they beat Toronto last year, and even though they lost to Tampa in five, like, there was, what, a quadruple overtime game, two other overtime games? Like, they're always there, Andrew. They're a big pain in the ass. Like, if you don't take them seriously, they're going to beat you. Like, I think in their division, it's Tampa on top, and they looked great again last night, as you talked about. And then there's a group. There's, like, Dallas, there's Carolina, there's Columbus that's sort of in the next tier. And, you know, I think they're a playoff team, but they have to fight and scratch and claw their way to get there.
Well, Nick Foligno's another eyes-on player there that we're going to see what happens with him at the end of the year, their captain, because he's a UFA. But not only that, you wonder, you know, if he's involved in any of this too, because he'd be a good piece to go with Dubois, and maybe they just look at scrapping a season and building fresh for next year. Elliot, thanks for your time today. Outstanding as usual.
All right, and guys, grab that interview because I'd be really curious. Like, I think you guys would really like it, and I think your listeners would be interested in hearing it and your guys' reaction to it.
I've asked our guys in the room there in the studio to see if they could pull it and see if we can have it for next segment. So thank you for producing the next segment of the Instigators, Elliot.
No worries. That's what I'm here for, guys. I'll just add that to the rest of my feed.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.